finding organic matters again wherever you are. It gets so confusing now. I'm not sure exactly where everyone's listening to me. But as I do occasionally, I'm actually going to go almost out of what I call my wheelhouse. But it is to do with nature and natural things, and it's something I've been fascinated by since I was a young boy at 13, I think. I first tried to work with magnetism to make a perpetual motor, which of course so far hasn't been possible. It's getting very close. So I've been fascinated by magnets and magnetism and what makes it work all my life. I'm going to give you about 8 or 10 facts about magnetism that I think you'll be fascinated by. And it also ties in. There's some people that even think it has something to do with growing plants. I don't know if I believe in all that, but I certainly believe in reading everything and then kind of making up my own mind. Let's begin with this sort of factoid that a lot of people don't know. I'm sort of surprised I came across it, again, when I was young and kind of looking into this. Earth's magnetic poles actually swap places. Now, that sounds strange because, of course, as long as humans have been around so far, it's always been the North Pole and the South Pole. But as crazy as it sounds, every few 100,000 years, whatever that is, Earth's magnet field flips completely, causing the North and South Poles to switch places. This strange phenomenon known as geomagnetic reversal, good name for it, has happened hundreds of times in our whole Earth's history. Its cause remains elusive. We're not sure why it happens, folks. As much as we know now, there is really no way to predict when the next one might occur. However, while a magnetic reversal could certainly kind of wreak havoc on communication systems and power grids and that kind of stuff worldwide, it doesn't happen overnight. As it takes a few thousand years to switch once it decides, or whatever causes it to happen. It doesn't happen overnight. That's not to be worried about. The second thing that just fascinated me about magnetism or magnets, you even might be familiar with the fact that trains and other large ferrous metal type objects can obviously be made to levitate with the aid of magnetism. But did you know that even little tiny creatures like frogs and small mammals can be levitated using strong magnetic fields? It's fascinating to watch. That's because water is diamagnetic, it meaning it repels magnetic fields. And under the right influence of a sufficiently powerful magnet, droplets and even living organisms can literally be seen floating in the air. It looks impossible, but all to magnetism. Another interesting thing about magnets is called magnetars. Spread that out. It's magnetic stars. They're neutron stars, which are incredibly powerful. Magnets themselves. They can generate magnetic fields in, I can only use the word, quadrillion times stronger than the magnetic forces of our Earth. These extreme magnets disrupt the electronic clouds, or if you want to call them the electron clouds of atoms, from thousands and thousands of miles away. It's even been suggested, and we're not sure yet, that these magnetars are the source of these fast radio bursts. It's a strange kind of deep space phenomena. We used to think it might have been like outer space people things that resembles an intentional radio signals, and it's actually puzzled our scientists for hundreds of years. For decades, for sure. Here I am, a nature nerd. Don't forget that. Another source that's very interesting, and I have dealt with it for several different reasons, it's known as magnetoreception, okay, in animals. A lot of animals included are bees, sea turtles, salmon, pigeons, a number of different birds, and we're not sure. Even some mammals may use this magnetoreception. The ability to sense magnetic fields. They use this ability for navigation, migration, and just general orientation of where they are. Birds in particular use this ability to easily navigate the skies, even on cloudy days or through the dark, dark nights. Many scientists believe that even humans possess some sort of a dormant or sort of a semi-subconscious magnetic sense. But research into this field, I want to say it's still in its infancy. They're working with it, but I can't give you a black and white answer to that right now. And let's talk a minute about the sun's magnetic influence. The sun exerts a tremendous magnetic influence on us, on our Earth, on planet Earth. Solar flares and sunspots, for example, are all caused by intense bursts of magnetic activity on the surface of the sun. These eruptions release vast amounts, unreadable almost, amounts of energy, and in some cases can seriously affect communication systems here on Earth, and even weaken the protective effect of our, what we call our planetary magnetic field. And here's something that may fascinate you. It sure attracted my attention. Magnetism finds countless applications in medicine, with one of the most successful being MRI, which you know, magnetic resonance imaging, which I've had done to myself. MRI machines use powerful magnetic fields and radio waves to generate detailed images of your body's internal structures. Since its development back in the 70s, this non-invasive medical imaging technique has revolutionized diagnosis and treatment and health care globally, and unlike x-rays, appears to have no permanent or trouble on the human body. And next, a phenomenon I have been fortunate enough to see just one time in my life are called auroras, also known as the northern or the southern lights. I've never seen the southern lights. I've seen the northern lights. They're caused by charged particles from the sun interacting with our own Earth's magnetic field. The shape and color of auroras are determined by the strength and the direction of those magnetic fields. Interestingly, large geomagnetic storms can influence the latitude at which auroras can be observed. During particularly strong historical events, they have been observed as far south as the Mediterranean Ocean area. And a phenomenon that is being worked on but hasn't come into play as a universal use yet is magnetic refrigeration. It's a cooling technology that exploits the inherent thermal properties of magnetic fields to achieve refrigeration. While the technology has the potential to be really way more energy efficient than our current uses to refrigerate things, and is going to be extremely environmental friendly, that's why I'm interested in it, compared to what we use traditional refrigeration now. They're experimenting with it, it works well, but so far there's no real commercially viable magnetic refrigerators available to the public as of when I found the latest information I can about magnetism. Here's a little strange piece of information I had not heard of until I looked up my latest findings on magnetism. Some bacteria have tiny magnetic crystals inside their bodies, allowing them to align with our Earth's magnetic field. This seems to help them navigate and find the best environments for their survival, such as low oxygen habitats. However, unlike magnetoreception, this process is more akin to the movement of a compass needle, literally inside these little bacteria. And the bacteria are forced into alignment rather than choosing to move in that direction. They have no choice. They've just evolved to live with it. And one more thing to add on my little story here. Even memory storage depends on magnets. I don't mean in our brain. Think about this. This is where it hits all of us. Magnetic storage devices. How about hard disk drives and magnetic tape in the older days? Now we do, there's almost no tape left anymore. Uses magnetism to store digital data. This is often accomplished by encoding a signal through small variations in electrical current, then embed a proportional magnetic distribution, I'm making this fancy, into a storage device. We all use them. Later, this distribution can be read back to reproduce the original signal really almost exactly, certainly exactly as we could ever hear. Despite advancements in solid-state storage technology, magnetic storage remains a cost-effective and reliable option, more so than any other large-scale data storage that we've been able to establish. So to kind of wrap this little portion of the show up about magnetism, consider when you walk outside, the next time you use your computer, the next time you see a pigeon that may have been what they used to call homing pigeons, passenger pigeons, way back. Now it's homing pigeons. They find their way back home by using magnetic forces. It's kind of difficult to think about. If you think about it, we had no idea until sea turtles, an ideal example. For those of you who listened to me for over 20 years, I tagged sea turtles for a living in my life. And when I started, we really didn't have any idea how a sea turtle born, or I'm going to use the word hatched, on an island in Texas, South Padre, or an island or the edge of a shore in Mexico, made it to Nova Scotia to go eat and survive for 8 or 10 years till it was old enough to breed and find its way back to the very beach that it was hatched on to lay its eggs. We had no concept how that worked. We thought it was stars. We thought it was following the sun. And then as we got more sophisticated in our scientific knowledge, it came to our scientists that these guys are using magnetism. The beautiful swan that made winter in Florida or in Texas or somewhere and end up in, again, northern Canada for the summer follows magnetism. It doesn't even really, as far as we know, are aware of it. It just aligns itself with these magnetic fields and it enables it to find its way thousands of miles year after year. Another one that I've done articles on, as a matter of fact, I just did an article 2 months ago on the monarch butterfly. There's little doubt that I know of anyway, that the only way a butterflies from Canada end up in Mexico to winter over to survive and come back is by magnetic field reception. They use those magnetic fields to find their way thousands of miles again through generations. Remember, a butterfly only lives 4 to 6 weeks except for one generation. The fourth generation can live 8 or 9 months, a long story in itself. But how that's stored and how it works is fascinating, number one. But more importantly, it's are we going to be able to do that? Will there be a source where we can fly everything we ought to? Incidentally, we really do that. Why? It's called a compass. The compass is built into airplanes and it gets us from one end of the world to the next or across the United States, all based on something we hardly ever think about. And that's magnetism. So I don't know why. I hope you don't think I'm crazy because this isn't really a part of organic matters, but it is a part of our world we live in, the organic living world. And it's more fascinating than it's, you can't see it, you can't smell it, you can't feel it. And it's got a tremendous power over everything we do. So thanks for staying tuned to this portion of Organic Matters.